This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say. But if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free-for-all Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon, and welcome to this free-for-all Friday. And as you heard in Bob's news, the TTC is suspending service as of 3 p.m. on some routes ahead of the snowfall, which at the moment doesn't look too bad. And this comes as we are constantly being told to take public transit, to rely on public transit. It also comes as we heard about the closures to rehabilitate the Gardiner Expressway that are going to take years, 3 years. It takes a lot less time in a lot of other places. So what is that about? And in the meantime, a proposal to make things even harder. City Council is looking at a proposal to pave over Green Pea parking lots and build housing. Now, if you pass by those Green Pea parking lots, the ones that I see are usually packed and very popular, and they are either near transit, people park their car and take transit, or they're near small neighborhood businesses and they make it easier for people to shop at those businesses. So I don't think it'd be very good for those businesses if they get rid of those lots and just put more people there who would have been able to walk to a grocery store or a bakery, but there may not be bakeries and grocery stores nearby anymore. So I am wondering what you think of all of that. In addition to the so-called bigger stories of the week, we learned a lot about the terms Toronto agreed to get those World Cup games. The price has ballooned from a high of estimated $45 million to now $380 million, all kinds of concessions to FIFA. And the mayor, Olivia Chow, is pledging to make it a financial success. So my question is, a financial success for who? I don't think for the city of Toronto. And there is also a lot more to talk about. We heard a couple of heartbreaking stories yesterday about people who were moved to nursing homes from what they call alternate level of care to nursing homes they didn't choose, which were far away from loved ones, which their loved ones could not get to. And it's a very difficult situation. We got a number on that yesterday. It was 300 people in Ontario. The government says, hey, this is just a tiny percentage of people who go into long-term care, and that's true. But if you're one of those 300, one of that small percentage, it's under 2%, well, it's really bad. So let me give the numbers out again, and the phone lines are filling up. The number is 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And let us go to Marissa. I'm not sure where Marissa is. Hello, Marissa.
Hi, I'm calling from Etobicoke. How are you doing?
Fine. Go ahead, Marissa. You're on the air.
Okay, so there's a couple of things I'd like to talk about. First of all, I'd like to talk about the caption for the PC federal government. They call it the Common Sense Revolution. I want to know where my fellow Ontarians are. Are you delusional? Are you sleeping? Do you not remember that clause back in the Mike Harris days? Mike Harris axed 3,000 healthcare workers, raped the education system, the boroughs in Toronto kaput. Another thing about the long term that you just mentioned, I lost my mother on January the 10th.
Sorry to hear that.
She lived to be 99 and a half years old. She was in a long-term care home just short of 12 years. If I, my brother or my sister, were not there every day, my mother would not have lived 12 more years. Not much has changed in the long-term care. Mr. Ford can stand there in front of a mic and preach all these big numbers, but you know what? There's a lot to be desired for. And
thank you very much for your call. I can see the caller is upset about all these things. And, you know, I'm sure she's right that if her mother in long-term care did not have children to attend to her every day, things would have been a lot worse. Let us go to Tom in Ajax. Hello, Tom.
Hi, welcome to winter.
Thanks. I changed my plans. I'm not going out to lunch today.
Oh, it's just going to flurry until later on today. You'll be fine. Have fun.
I'll be fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. This business about landfill at Ontario Place. The way it was done, yeah, pretty shady. It kind of reminded me of Kathleen Wynne, the way she did things. But people have forgotten that most of Ontario Place is built on landfill and sunken barges. And Toronto was built on landfill from Front Street down, the Leslie Street Spit, all landfill. So, you know, back in the 60s, they were saying building Ontario Place would kill the lake. All the fish would die. We'd have nothing but lamprey eels. And it's fine. So other than the way they did it, there's nothing wrong with putting landfill in there. Nothing at all.
Well, and we don't even know if they are doing it because they've refused to answer, which suggests they are doing it. Because sometimes when these things leak out, it's just one of many proposals or schematics or whatever you call them. But thank you for reminding us about that. Be that as it may, I think that a lot of people do not want the lake paved over for a spa or a parking lot.
The way it was done was extremely ill thought. And again, that politics in the 21st century, it seems that just every level of politics is just the way they do things. But landfill is not necessarily evil.
Okay. Thank you for that. And let us now go to Catherine in Waterloo. Hello, Catherine.
Hello. I'm
just
Libby. Wanted to let you know your line is really breaking up. Okay.
Maybe it's your line because I think ours is fine. But go ahead.
Okay. I believe former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney was the reason why he made it so easy for us to come to Canada. And
where did your family come from?
U.S. The U.S. Mm-hmm. And my husband got the best job teaching at Laurier.
And you like it here?
Yes, very much. The people.
And you think he was a good prime minister?
Pardon?
You think he was a good prime minister?
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Huge coverage of the passing and the funeral arrangements for the former prime minister. And he is being very warmly and fondly remembered. And this is very interesting. You know, I heard one former politician say that as time goes on, he will be remembered more and more fondly by history. And I agree with that. I covered Brian Mulroney for quite a few years. Now, he came in on a big Tory landslide victory in 1984, but by the time he was ousted, he was extremely unpopular, and the Conservative Party was reduced to a rump. There were only two seats. So I think that, in fact, he is being recognized in history. He was a really good prime minister. I think he brought in some things that were very important for us. Free trade, GST, as much as we don't like to pay it, it's now the HST. He was instrumental in ending apartheid in South Africa. And he was a guy that kept in touch with a lot of people. So I think that is one of the reasons for this outpouring that we frankly didn't necessarily see for other former prime ministers. Okay, we are going to move right along here, and let's go to Gail in Hyde Park. Hello, Gail.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to let you know that last Monday night I watched Antiques Roadshow, the British version on PBS. The segment they had was filmed in 2021. On the show, there was a black gentleman who had a collection to be appraised, and he said that he had learned a lot about the slave trade in England. And then he commented, he said, there was a British politician, Henry Dundas, who worked with William Wilberforce for over 16 years to abolish slavery in England.
I think that a lot of people got what they're saying historically about Henry Dundas wrong. And there's evidence to back that up. But the people who say he was a very bad person and we should change things that bear his name, they will not back down from that view. So it's interesting that you saw that, Gail. Thank you for sharing. Okay, we are still moving right along. Let's go to Marion in Etobicoke. Hello, Marion.
Hi there. I'm calling regarding the rapid COVID test. You know, I find it so disappointing how we did so well with this terrible thing that hit us. And now when you go to pick up the free rapid test, you can only get the expired ones. And someone
They stopped giving them out. There was an announcement. That's just the way it is.
Yesterday, but they're expired. So what? And I heard a rumor, and I don't know it for a fact, that you can go to Shoppers, get this rapid COVID test, but it happens to cost you $40. Now, I find this such a shame when that was one of the things that kept us all so healthy.
Okay, Marion, thank you for that. And apparently there's a bit of an uptick that's going to be happening or that is happening. You know, just because we don't get those numbers day in and day out doesn't mean it's not going on, but it is definitely under a lot better control than it was. Boy, when we remember what happened with the pandemic, I mean, you just kind of shudder. Things are better now. And let's go to Maxine in Milton. Hello, Maxine.
Hi, Libby. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I want to just touch briefly on Pierre Poilievre and his non-confidence motion that was defeated on the floor yesterday.
Go ahead.
All right. So the motion was defeated, not because of the NDP and the Liberals, but there were members in his own caucus that voted against this, right?
So, of his own caucus, really?
Yeah, you can look it up.
Pierre Poilievre's caucus that voted against it? I'll have to check that.
Yeah, you can go and check it. The record is there. My other comment is that I know that as leader of the opposition, his role is to oppose the government. When you're in social studies, you learn that. Anyhow,
yeah.
His only goal cannot be to criticize the government. He has to have a plan. What is his platform? What is his plan? What is his goal? What is he going to do? What is his framework? What is he going to do that's different from what the prime minister is doing? And his platform cannot be, Canadians are tired of Justin Trudeau. That can't be his platform. We need to hear what his plan is so that we can be informed when we go into the voters' box.
Well, he says, and I'm sure he'll say it again and again, he's going to get rid of the carbon tax, which is going up on April the 1st. And he's trying to raise awareness about that. And he says he is going to make life more affordable. And you're right, we need to hear more details about that before we go to the ballot box. Maxine, thank you very much for your call. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm looking at the clock. It's time for our first break, and I am going to give the numbers out again before the break. 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. A lot of things on people's minds today. We've just heard the first one about that vote of no confidence that went nowhere. But do you think it was a good thing? It was a good way for the conservatives to get their message out. We've heard about the provincial maybe plan to pave over part of Lake Ontario. Wondering what people think of that. We have the city's pledge to make the FIFA games, which are costing taxpayers $380 million to make them a financial success. What do you think of that? And City Council here in Toronto now is also talking about paving over Greenpea parking lots to build housing, which probably won't be that good for all the small businesses that are near those green pea lots, which, as far as I can see, are very heavily utilized. So again, we're taking a break and we'll be right back with all of that and your calls and comments on the other side of it.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. Of course, it is the day when you talk about what we talk, when we talk about what you want to talk about. And the numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And we haven't talked about what's happening in the Middle East yet. We had that really strange, aimless NDP resolution. They wanted to unilaterally recognize Palestine as a state. It would have made Canada the only G7 country to do so. The critics said that's playing into the hands of Hamas. But by the time the motion passed, late in the evening, it was so watered down that it simply reflected current policy. And so you kind of wonder, what was the point of all of that? It comes after the foreign minister, Madame Melanie Joly, was in the Middle East walking around there. She gave $1 million for the survivors of sexual assault during the October 7th massacre, and then pledged to do something for Palestinian people who suffered sexual assault. So I don't know. We haven't talked about that yet. Let's go to Helen in Toronto. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Libby. I'm really put off with Yara Sachs. I've written her a couple of letters, and the first
Let's just a minute. She is a Liberal MP. She is an Orthodox Jewish woman, and she's the minister of addictions or something like that.
Yeah. That's right. She isn't Orthodox, but she is Jewish. And there was a talk part of the Canadian Jewish Daily News, and she was given every opportunity on there to explain the holding hands with Arafat and
Arafat is long dead.
I'm sorry.
With Mahmoud Abbas.
Yes, I'm sorry. She kept dodging the question, and they even went to the point of saying, "You look a little hesitant in there. Was it you who was, you know, going to hold his hand?" And she just kept dodging it and dodging it, and they gave her every opportunity to say, "Well, no, that wasn't it." She also went on to say it was a photo op, and she was trying to get him to do all these wonderful things that we we who believe don't think are going to happen. I just think it's a very poor image of somebody doing something that that alienates her from the rest of the Jewish community, possibly other communities, and having given her every chance to say something that she didn't take the opportunity. And she just kept dodging it.
It was interesting because if you actually, I looked at the picture. First of all, I don't have a huge, personally, I don't have a huge problem of taking a picture with Mahmoud Abbas. The Palestinian Authority is famously corrupt, and anyone who wants to deal with them, as they've been told, they have to clean up their act. We'll wait and see. But they are there. So there isn't really anyone else other than Hamas. So you have to talk to them. But I looked at the picture. I scrolled down on the picture, and it looked like he took her hand at the forearm, and her hands were kind of clenched. So I'm not sure how happy she was about that, and I don't know why she, you know, if people were upset about it, but she's a minister in the Liberal government, and presumably she wants to keep her job. Thanks, Helen. Let us go to Rosemary in Toronto, wants to talk about the 300 patients who went to long-term care homes not of their choosing.
Hi, Libby. I just want to say I think that's wrong because people do need love and care from their family. And let's put Doug Ford's mother up in Sudbury and take away his car. He has to get there by public transit. That means train, bus, whatever, and half the things don't go there anymore, and see how long, see how he likes it, and see how long she, I know she's not eligible to go home, but see how long the rule would stay.
Okay, thank you for that. Of course, Doug Ford's mother passed away during the pandemic, his mother Diane, and she was in long-term care. Not going to comment on that. Let's go to Bill in Burlington. You want to talk about auto theft?
Yeah, I've been listening a lot to what's been going on the last while now about auto thefts in Toronto, particularly. And that recommendation that came out by the police board, or I'm not sure who it was, to put fobs in mailboxes to avoid violent home encounters.
It was a cop. It wasn't the police board. It was one police officer.
Was with the police department, and it was an ill-advised comment to make. I've got an equally ill-advised idea, but it won't work, but it's a thought. The problem with cars today, they're so expensive. They got all the bells and whistles. People are going out and buying them. It's like what you're paying for a mortgage now. So what happens is they put them in their driveways. They're stolen. What's the first thing they probably do? They go out and buy another big car. This area has already been targeted. What's going to end up happening is going to happen over and over again. My theory is car is a means of transportation. Get a junker. They're not going to touch them. And the thing about it is if this continues, it's going to affect insurance prices, and it's also going to affect you know, the auto companies. If they start losing money, they're going to get on the bandwagon too. I'm just saying right now, this is crazy. And another question, Libby, you might know this. How does Toronto compare to other large municipalities, both here in Canada and the United States, about auto thefts? Or is this just a Toronto-centric kind of thing? That's all I have.
You got me there. I don't have an accurate answer, so we'll have to look that up. However, auto theft is up more than 200%, and you're saying insurance rates will go up. Well, they already have gone up, and it's an average of $130 of an increase for everybody, no matter what kind of car you drive, even if it's a junker. And there are lots of the models that are popular for being stolen. Well, they are being told often that unless they install some kind of system designated by the insurance company, their rates will go up a lot more, like $500. So, yeah, It is already affecting us. One thing, keep tuning into our newscast, because at 12, I learned in Bob's newscast that there's been an arrest targeting this ring. And a lot of the people arrested are Quebec residents, and a lot of it goes through the port of Montreal. So hopefully that makes a dent in it a bit.
Thank you.
Okay, Bill. All righty. Let me give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740. Toll free 1-866-740-4740. It's a free-for-all Friday. We're talking about all kinds of things, whatever is on your mind. And let's go to Esco in Scarborough. Hello, Esco.
We don't need more buildings going over parking lots. We don't need to have Lake Ontario paved over. And the only reason why that appears to be the illusion of a feasible idea is because the amount of refugees going up and up and up to justify the waste of money and taking up of our space, and we have nowhere to park, and then they're going to have more war on the car under the falsehood of safety and the environment, which is another scam. Sick of it. It's like a third world country.
Okay, thank you. I don't think it's refugees that are going to be buying condos. One of the things that really strikes me about all this talk about building housing, they keep saying affordable housing. Well, if anybody has done any research on the things that are being built now, they are not affordable. They are absolutely not affordable. Condos are extremely expensive. It depends on the location. But again, if the hope is that we need more housing, there are more people coming in. There's refugees, but there are also immigrants who are coming to this country because they match the skills they need, hopefully. The government has to do a better job of that. But again, people who are just here, I even read about some people leaving, some immigrants leaving, because it's a lot more expensive than they expected. So the people who are buying all this new construction, well, they're not poor people. And there's a huge issue with younger people who can't afford to get into the housing market. And when you have houses in the millions of dollars and you've only been working for however long you've been working, it's hard to accumulate a 25% down payment. It's very, very difficult. Okay, let's go to Martin in Brampton. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Libby. I want to say that the World Cup is going to be great for Toronto. We're going to get countries, like in our grouping that we get here and any other games, and the price might go up to $500 million if we get a few more games. But our hotels will be packed. And I'm not kidding you. And everybody's going to love it. And it's so far away. If we can finish Ontario Place at the time, then they can all go there too. But if you get games like Argentina versus Germany, we're going to have all those people here. The groupings, the Europeans are going to love our World Cup.
Well, you know what? I hope you're right. I hope that you are right. But I don't know if you are. And the other thing that's being said is that it's really going to put Toronto on the world map, and it'll become a great tourist destination, or more than it is now. I don't know about that.
I think that the World Cup is for everybody in the world, and it's going to be so great. And we're going to make a ton of money. And one more thing about the Professional Women's Hockey League. The PWHA, where
yes.
And I think that, and I've studied Lord Stanley, how he donated the cup to the professional teams, the champions of Canada, of the of more professionalist teams, and the women in this new professional league have a right to the Stanley Cup. They if they put forth a proper proposal to the NHL, who do not own the cup. They are only the trustees of the cup. Women have a right to the Stanley Cup. The professional.
Amen to that. Thanks for your call. Women have a right to the Stanley Cup. I'd have to agree with that. Okay, let's go to Jim in Pickering. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Olivia. I have to say you do sound quite well.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you're welcome. Libby, I wanted to talk about, the fare evasion on the TTC today. And what brought it up for me is I did work there for 30 years. I've been retired for 20. But I did hear former Mayor John Tory commenting on it, And I still talk to the guys who are currently there. And we could all see that. The handwriting was on the wall. And it's just I wish they could see it or talk to, the people who are actually working there on the front line. Because we can all see these things. And it's a tremendous leak. And now they're trying to figure what to do. And what's happening is they give the children to ride free. And, of course, that's being abused in the other passes. Libby, my suggestion at the time was to give the students post-secondary because seniors got a discount, children got a discount, but the post-secondary who really need, the money, going to York, going to Centennial, Seneca, and Scarborough College, why didn't they give them a reduction? I made a reduction, but you know what? I'm so idealistic. I just still care.
Well, it's nice that you still care. I think there's a new ad talking about the importance of paying on the TTC. And somehow I think that the people who don't pay, and a lot of them are what I would call kids, but large kids, I don't think that they will be moved by being told that it's the right thing to do. You're going to have some more enforcement.
Right. But something, Libby, I mean, no one, it's not new. The ad may be new, but it has gone on since forever. But unfortunately, it comes home to roost. And I feel sorry for the people who pay the amount they pay for their pass and their ride because, it's just not a fair thing.
You're right about that. Thank you for that, Jim. Oh, and we have another former TTC worker, Peter in Toronto. Hello, Peter. Hello? Peter, are you there? I hear clicking. Okay. Peter, you can call back. I'd love to hear from another TTC worker. Fare evasion is a really big deal. We keep hearing how poor the TTC is, how it needs more money from government. And there you go. People aren't paying their fares. And there is not that much in the way of enforcement. Let's go to Brian in Mimico. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Libby. Wow, the PWHL, Toronto might actually have a chance getting the Stanley Cup for once. But actually, why I just called in, why is it everything has to go to downtown Toronto? All the events, all the condos, everything else, they want to build something up, do something. Why does it have to go downtown Toronto? Toronto's all full up. We should be spreading it around to other places.
Well, there is building in the GTA, largely because Toronto is too expensive. There's lots of building going on. But I don't know about events. What kind of events would you...
Down there, there's no room. It's crowded. Spread things out more. Everything you hear about, oh, it's going to go in downtown Toronto. Why? That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Thanks for that. Okay. It's time for our second break. So, yes, let me give the numbers out again before we go to break. And the numbers are 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-744-740. We're talking about all kinds of things today. And among them, we just touched on the subject of fare evasion at the TTC, which is a huge problem. And we lost a call from a former worker. So if you are a former worker for the TTC, or if you take the TTC, it's pretty plain to see people walking on without paying. Give us a shout and tell us about it. We've also been talking about the World Cup and the cost of it and the benefits of it. So that's another big question. And I see we're getting a call in from Niagara. And I was talking to the mayor of Niagara Falls, which is supposedly the best place ever to watch that eclipse, which is coming in about 2 weeks. And he's expecting 1 million people. Now, I kind of doubt that number, but it's a lot of people. And I'm also curious if people are making plans to go someplace here in Ontario for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see a full solar eclipse. So we're taking that break, and we will be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt. Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. We are going to get right to the phones. And I'm going to Gisela in Arthur, who has a personal experience regarding long-term care. Hi, Gisela.
Hi. Hi, Libby.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead. Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to comment for everyone who has a loved one in a nursing home, whether it's a senior or there are some young people also that have conditions that are in nursing homes. It's very, very important that family visits. And my mother was the longest living Alzheimer's patient in the nursing home because family was near. Plus, we hired somebody just to keep her company, not a PSW. It's like a support, I guess, for seniors.
Companion? Yep.
Companion. And, yes, she was the longest living Alzheimer's patient.
And how long did she live?
When she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, she was quite young. She was in her 60s, and she lived about 12 years. So, obviously, that was very helpful, and that's why it's important family are close. They shouldn't be put in nursing homes that are far away where the family can't visit. And also with my father, I would just like to mention that people really need to be involved in family members that are in nursing homes. My father, and you wouldn't even think about this, my father was treated and diagnosed by the doctor in the nursing home with athlete's foot. Now, we didn't realize that he had a problem. They don't give you updates on the condition of your family member. And we wanted to move him to a nursing home closer to his wife. And when they admit them, they do the doctor goes over everything. Long story short is it wasn't athlete's foot, it was gangrene.
Oh my God.
And he had to go straight to the hospital and have his leg amputated.
Oh no.
And he didn't survive that. He had a heart attack. So I was very upset. You know, you wouldn't think something like that would happen. A doctor treating a patient with athlete's foot when it was full of gangrene.
Oh,
my
goodness.
So you really need to be involved with your family and loved ones when they are in a nursing home. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you for sharing that story. I'm very sorry to hear that. I can't imagine how upsetting that would have been. Thank you for your call, and have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Renee wants to talk about parking lots. Hello, Renee.
Hello, Levy. Nice listening to you, and nice to be communicating with you on the air.
Okay, please go ahead. What do you think?
Yes, I was thinking about, you know, what the solution would be for the parking lot. First, I would like to have a question for you, because I'm a little bit ignorant about who's running the parking lots in the city, the Ontario government or the federal government?
Neither. The Green Pea parking lots are operated by the Toronto Parking Authority, which is a separate agency, but City Council would have the right for deciding what happens. It's land that's owned by the city.
Okay. I was wondering if, you know, with all the construction going on right now in Toronto, I love architectural buildings, especially the one in Yonge and Bloor, the heart of Toronto. And they have built so many beautiful apartments. I'm talking about condos. And, you know, they have a basement, two or three down underground floor for a parking space. Why don't they do that in these parking spaces and take some of the money that they generate to build affordable housing for the people that are living out on the streets?
Well, who knows what their plan for building might come to, but right now those parking lots exist and people use them and frequent businesses and whatever. If they do something, it will, like everything else, take years and put whatever that is out of commission. And always the question with building is there enough infrastructure to support the people who would be moving into those buildings? So that is a big question. Renee, thank you very much for your call. And let us now go to John in Oshawa. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you doing today?
We're fine. Please go ahead.
Good. I'd like to talk about home daycare for seniors. I'm a very advanced senior myself, and it seems to me when you hear about the system in New York State where people are paid, relatives or friends are paid to look after in the home seniors, and they get paid immediately when they're finished. I guess it's through the internet. And everything's fine.
I haven't heard that. I have not heard that, family caregivers are paid. So I really don't know. I don't think so. And frankly, what I read about the situation in New York, it's not great. But we need more home care. And we need to pay the people who work in home care decently so they might actually want these jobs. And we need more tax breaks for people who are family and friend caregivers. So I would agree with you that we need a lot more home care. John, have a nice weekend. Okay, let's go to Ray in Milton. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Libby. Libby, I'll just make it quick. I think the federal NDP for propping up the federal government, the Liberals, they're going to get wiped right out next election.
Well, some people think the Liberals will get wiped out next election.
Well, Jed McSean, he'll be gone for sure for propping up.
Hello, are you still there, Ray? I think we lost Ray. Okay. I am going to... Ray, I'm giving up. We did lose Ray. Okay, so he thinks that the NDP will bear the brunt of that. Maybe they will. And a lot of people think that the Liberals are really going to take a big drubbing. But as they say, a week is a lifetime in politics. The next election is not happening for quite a while. So lots of things can change between now and then. And I'm going to take a call from Steve, who's been very patiently waiting and wants to talk about guaranteed basic income. Hello, Steve in Cambridge.
Hey, Libby, how are you today? Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Go ahead.
Well, we're currently almost at a third reading for this. I don't know how much people have been paying attention. So it's very important. There are three that are holdouts right now, and I just want to mention them quickly. It's Pierre Dalfond, Jane McAdam, and Tony Lafreda. I think I got that right.
They're the ones holding out. It's in the Senate, right?
That's correct. So these are three senators hold out. We only need one of them to switch. Now, the thing I don't get is that this is very important. There's lots of people that need this money, me being one of them. You know, what's our biggest expense right now? It's rent. We need, and I don't think landlords are going to lower rent. So if you look at it from that perspective, I think that's what's very important. It will get people off the street. It'll get people working again. If you actually listen to and read articles on it, there's been nothing but positive. This is why I don't understand why a lot of people are negative against it.
Okay, well, I think we have to remind people exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about a guaranteed
livable basic income for every. It's supposed to be. It might. You know, there's either a guaranteed livable basic income for people that need the boost, or it's supposed to be universal. Now, obviously, universal is way more expensive than just a guaranteed livable basic income.
Well, this idea has come up a lot. It's in the Senate now. So if it passes in the Senate, they could send it over to the House of Commons. And if it's this government we're talking about, you know, it takes them years even to implement their own policies that they have passed. So frankly, I would not be holding my breath on this. But that is what we're talking about, a guaranteed basic income. There have been pilot projects. A lot of people like it. A lot of people don't like it. But, Steve, I think there would be a big meantime, even if it does get passed.
Yes, this is only a framework. Let's remember we're talking. We're talking about a framework. We're not talking about the bill yet. So I don't understand why they're holding it up. I think a study, further study needs to be done is basically what I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay, we have a few minutes left in this show, so you can still call in 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. I'm going to take a call from Jan in Niagara, but I think that Jan's information is not correct. So before we get to that, I'll take a call from Rena in Toronto. Hello, Rena. How are you?
Hi, Libby. I'm fine, thank you. Libby,
okay.
I'm very concerned about kids carrying knives and guns to school.
Yeah.
And I don't think they know what jail time is like. I don't think they've ever been exposed to jail to see what it is like in a jail. And why not hold the parents totally responsible for some of these kids? And I wish there was a possibility of the kids seeing what a jail is like, what this whole situation is like for them when they commit these crimes. And, of course, another thing, with the car hijackings, when those that are above them, because it's always an organization above them, giving them maybe $20, go hijack this car. But who are those people above them?
That's what they're trying to get at. It's obviously organized crime. There were some arrests just today, but a lot of people say that the penalties for young offenders should be higher. And that's the problem, is that they get young kids to do this. The young kids get a slap on the wrist and perhaps they go back out and do things again instead of learning a lesson. So it's a kind of a vicious cycle.
Exactly. And I'm very, very concerned about kids having knives in school. Very, very concerned. And the parents should really bear the brunt of of what these kids are doing.
And a lot of people say the same thing. Sorry?
I said let the parents spend some time in jail also.
Okay. Thank you for that, Rena. Appreciate your call. Okay, I'm trying to see if we have time for one more very quick one to end on a positive note. Gordon, Niagara Falls, very quickly, what do you want to tell us about the eclipse?
All this talk about the eclipse, and I have not heard hardly one word about the fact there are better odds that we will have an overcast day than a clear, uncloudy, sunny day. And you never hear it mentioned.
Okay, that's not a positive note to end on. Let's hope for a nice, clear day. Gord, on that note, I'm going to wrap things up. Thanks for your call. I hope we get a good weather forecast for April the 8th. It really is too soon to know what the weather will be like on that day of a total solar eclipse. That's all the time we have for Fight Back for today and for this week. I'll be back on Monday, and we will talk then.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.